David Baldacci joins us by phone tonight. He is a global number one best-selling author in over 45 languages in more than 80 countries. His works have been adapted for both feature films and television. He is co-founder, along with his wife, Michelle, of the Wish You Well Foundation, a nonprofit organization dedicated to supporting literacy. Tonight, we're going to talk about his latest thriller. It is titled The Fix. David Baldacci, I always look forward to speaking with you. Welcome to Around Cincinnati.
Thank you very much.
You have given us certainly a multi-layered novel in The Fix. There's espionage, romance, gang activity, and at the center of it all is Amos Decker, who at one point says of himself, "I am a stranger in my own body." So if you would, tell us about Amos and what challenge he's facing this time around.
Amos Decker was a college football player, and he played professionally for one game, and he suffered a traumatic brain injury on the field that nearly killed him and changed his brain, and it rewired itself. And now he has a condition called hyperthymesia, which means he has perfect recall. He can't forget anything, and because the brain controls our personality, and the line you just referenced, he's a stranger in his own body, he became a totally different person, personality-wise, whereas he was a very outgoing, gregarious young man. Now he's very withdrawn, can't really pick up on social cues, is very awkward in situations like that. So he's a totally different person, personality-wise. And perfect recall is a great tool for a detective because he can just sort of bring these mental frames up in his mind and poke and prod at these scenes that he's seen. He can't forget anything, so that's a great thing to have, too. But the downside, obviously, is that he's not the person he used to be. And in this book, The Fix, I really wanted to hit the ground running. So in the very first pages of this novel, you see Amos Decker walking down the street. He's going to the FBI building where he's having a meeting. He sees two people up ahead of him, and before he can do anything, one shoots the other and then shoots himself. So it's sort of a murder suicide right in the middle of Washington, D.C., and he's a witness to it. First time in his life, he's witnessed a crime. So from that one very intimate scene, that drives the rest of the book, and even though it goes in lots of different directions, lots of different places, he keeps coming back to that scene on the street in his mind, trying to figure out exactly what he saw.
Well, in addition to these conditions that were created by his football injury, he has a devastating loss in his life with his wife and daughter being killed. So he's a somewhat offbeat character, and I'm wondering what drew you to him.
He's the sort of guy that all my other characters, I mean, they're interesting, they have nuances, and I try to deepen them, but he's the only one that is totally unpredictable just because his brain has changed. And I spent a lot of time in this book where he has a sort of internal dialogue with himself about, I can wake up tomorrow and be a totally different person. I could wake up tomorrow and not be able to remember anything because his brain is constantly changing. And so that's a very different take for me. I don't have a character anything close to that in the rest of the books that I write. So for me, it was very challenging and is very challenging writing about a character like Amos Decker because I like to be unpredictable, but you know, you would like your character to be sort of consistent, but he's not. But that puts me on edge and sort of forces me to be even more creative when I'm writing about him. Because now that I've made him unpredictable, I have to be consistent in that unpredictability. So it's a cool challenge for me, but I think writers need to keep challenging themselves, otherwise they sort of wither on the vine and, you know, try to do what they used to do, and they write the same book over and over again. I never want to do that, so making a challenge for me with a character like Amos Decker, you know, it's guaranteed I've got to bring every creative power that I have to bear to sort of live up to what I've created.
I remember asking you once about more stories and where do you get inspired and so forth. And I think you said there are always more stories in your mind. I'm wondering if that's true of characters. Are there at least outlines, so to speak, of characters waiting in the wings for a next novel or series?
You know, it's a great question. And I think there's a little bit of that, certainly. I think in my mind where I may not have a character completely created and crafted, ready to go, I'm always collecting bits and pieces of things along the way. Somebody I've met, an interesting addition that I read about somewhere, something that sort of piqued my curiosity, and I sort of filed that way in my brain. And slowly over time, different characters take shape and form in my mind, and then they sort of born, you know, as I write a new book with a brand new character. I'm always looking for new characters to write about. Again, it keeps me sharp and focused and make sure that I never sort of drop into, you know, a tedious formula on how I write these books. So I think I'm one of the few writers who has so many different character series going, but I think that's good for me because I know I'm never going to kind of drop in the formula and write the same book over and over again because I can't. That's a good thing.
I think this incident, this murder-suicide that starts the book off actually takes place in front of the Hoover Building, where the FBI is. And so Amos in this novel is working with the FBI, but also with the DIA, which I think was certainly I was not familiar with, and that may be true for lots of folks. So tell us about the DIA and how Amos is connected with these agencies.
He's an employee for a task force in the FBI, which obviously is the largest law enforcement agency, civilian law enforcement agency that we have. The DIA is a Defense Intelligence Agency. If you want to think of it, it's sort of like the Pentagon's version of the CIA. It's the way the Pentagon, independent from the CIA, collects intelligence from around the world. And they have, you know, nearly 20,000 employees. They have human intelligence in hundreds of countries. Obviously, they're involved dramatically in counterterrorism and things like that, all the hotspots around the world. They collect intelligence, feed it back to the Pentagon, and that makes its way up the civilian chain of command. So a lot of our foreign policy comes from intelligence gathered by the DIA. And they're a military support agency, so they're sort of military-focused. And because of the plot in this novel, because there are national security interests and there might be some terrorism aspects to the fix, the DIA sort of comes marching in and tells the FBI to back off, you know, sort of an agency territorial fight. But Amos Decker, he doesn't understand that at all. You know, territorial fight means nothing to him. He just wants to get to the truth. So when the DIA tells him to back off, that's like waving a red cape in front of a bull. He's going to do the exact opposite.
I have read that you are a fan of some of the PBS British mysteries, and I'm wondering if that's just totally pleasurable experience for you, or do you sometimes get ideas not in terms of copying, but in terms of sparking off what you see?
Absolutely. You know, I'm a huge fan of the British mysteries. You know, Midsummer Murders is one of my favorites. I love David Suchet's Hercule Poirot, you know, the Jane Marple series, and it goes on and on, Foyle's War. I love them all, and I love the sense of atmosphere, that time period. But also the twists and turns. You know, Agatha Christie excelled at that. So I do watch it sort of, you know, with two hats on. One is just a fan enjoying it, and two, to see how really talented writers put together these types of episodes and types of, you know, mysteries that we see. Inspiration can come from anywhere, and watching something that's really well done, really well written, you know, it's inspiration to writers. So, yeah, I do kind of get, you know, two different takes from it.
I'm also curious, of course, about what kind of research goes into your work. And in the fix, I'm wondering, is it, you know, we think of a writer's life as solitary, but do you go to the Defense Intelligence Agency? Do you talk with folks on the ground, so to speak, in getting background for the book?
Absolutely. I've become more of a journalist when I go out and talk to people. I try to immerse myself in that world. I try to learn as much as I can about it before I go and talk to people so they can know that I've educated myself, that I'm doing my job. I'm not wasting their time asking silly questions that I could have gotten answered somewhere else. But I go out and ask questions. I have dialogues, conversations. I just let people talk and I listen, you know, and I ask other questions. And that's where a great deal of, you know, the nuance and information that you can't get from just Wikipedia-ing something comes from my books, you know, because I take the effort to go out and talk to people. I don't just sit at my desk and make this stuff up. I really am curious about the things I write about. So it's, you know, two different levels. One, it's good for the book. It makes my books better than other books where writers don't do that. But secondly, you know, I feel like I'm getting an education as well. That type of world fascinates me, and meeting people who do that interesting work is always a pleasure. So it's kind of a win-win for me.
David, you have several series, but you've also written standalone novels. How many novels do you write a year, if there's a routine number? And again, what decides whether you're going to do another Amos Decker, I hope so, or whether you will be doing a standalone novel or children's? You also do novels for children.
You know, sometimes it's just a whim. It's what I feel. I have an idea for a particular story that fits well with the characters I have created already, whether it be Amos Decker or Will Robey. You know, for the last 7 or 8 years, I've written two novels a year. Now I write this young adult series with Mega Jane for Scholastic. And so, like every other year, I could even have three books out in a year. But I, for the most part, lately, I've been writing an Amos Decker book in the spring, which works well. He's a new character. I like getting, you know, that character grounded with readers. And then I alternate in the fall, you know, whether it be a John Puller or Will Robey or a King and Maxwell. So that seems to work well, but that may change. You know, I may have an idea for a brand new series, brand new character that I want to dive into, so that could throw that whole timetable off.
So what's next for you? What are you working on now?
I have a new novel that will be out in November. It's called Endgame, and it brings back Rule Roby and Jessica Real, my government assassins. So they'll be back in November.
Always a pleasure to talk with you. Thanks so much for visiting with us tonight.
Thank you. I enjoyed it very much.
I've been talking with David Baldacci about his latest book, The Fix. You'll find more information at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Barbara Gray.